Welcome to Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm CB Darogi. This week, The Tower, The Mother, and Death by Mahala Smith. The story was about a tower. It was a tall tower, built from sandstone, repurposed ship windows, and recycled pipes. It stood out against the gray sky like a splinter in a calloused heel. It marked the burial of Ennio Borgia, son of Captain Beatrice Borgia, who had steered the San Bonaventure spacecraft from Earth to this dry lump across dozens of galaxies over 3 decades before. She was dead now, like Ennio, buried in the modest catacombs that wormed through Nemea City with everyone else. The tower was unique, as far as buildings went. It had been built over the course of 3 restless weeks, ordered by Beatrice upon their arrival to Volaterra. Her crew set aside plans for greenhouses and homes. Instead, they cannibalized the ship to build the mausoleum. Many of them collapsed from exhaustion. At least 3 of them died. Some of them had carved the windows with the face cards from the Visconti Sforza, a gesture they hoped would bring good fortune to their new city. There were charity and hope, little cherubic faith, and the welcoming outstretched arms of death. Facing them were the sun, the emperor, the queen of swords, and the moon. I think I'm the only living person who sleeps in the tower. I lie down, wrapped in my green synthetic wool shawl, under the silhouette of the carved moon. Her face outlines my cold, empty body. Her features remind me of my mother's, looking down lovingly, the way my mother looked down at my little sister, baby May. Most nights I fall asleep imagining the days when she would give me a handful of salted crickets and tell me stories about how she had met our father. I never met him, but he sounded perfectly wonderful. Strong, with dark hair and a thick beard, always bringing her little gifts of gold chains or bouquets of clover. I know she went to find him the day I came home from school and she and baby May were gone. I tried to keep their images set in my imagination. I drew them with a stick of graphite and a short dagger I had stolen from the market. I covered the bottoms of benches, the undersides of lecterns, with their faces. No one else ever came to the tower until the 4th night of Glass Month, when the doors of the mausoleum were flung open, their copper beams smashing into the frame. I scuttled into a cupboard at the edge of the dais. A group of men stormed inside and began picking up the statues, carpets, and painting. They sawed columns and tore down angels. I stayed silent, praying to Charity and Hope and Captain Beatrice that they wouldn't turn this handle. They stopped after an hour. With heavy breathing and the shriek of copper beams being dragged across the floor, they finally left. I stepped out of the cupboard. The room looked like a mistral had blown through. A glass bowl of dried orange peels and palm bark was smashed to the ground, the offering stamped into the mosaic like new child-made tiles. There was a conspicuous lack of furniture and art. Without looking, I knew that the last threads I held connecting me to my mother and sister had been cut. Sometimes, I thought about Captain Beatrice Borgia and her big fancy spaceship of beautiful things, her loyal crew, her firstborn son. He was a small boy, with dark hair and dark eyes, and together they explored the universe with the blessing of the cards. What would it be like to be surrounded by that much love, I wondered. I wandered through the city, hoping to see where the paintings of Ennio, the statues and the heaps of columns and carpets and velvet cushioned chairs had been taken. I passed the market, avoiding the stationer and the blacksmith. I passed City Hall and the gambling quarter and the Dovecot. Eventually, I stumbled across where the yellow sandstone columns statues had been dumped on a plot of empty ground. Among them were scattered shovels and pickaxes and one towering crane. Someone was building something. I felt exhausted. I sat down against the side of a thick stone pedestal. I found one of my drawings carved at its base. I pulled out my knife and began deepening the lines of my mother's nose, adding tight curls beside her ears, darkening her eyelashes with graphite. There are a few stories about how Ennio died. Some people say that he got sick on the journey and never made it to Volterra. Other people say he died as the ship took off from Earth. Mrs. Costa, the schoolmistress, said those were lies. Ennio had made it onto the ship and had survived the journey. When the San Bonaventure had arrived on Volterra, he insisted that he and Beatrice be the first ones to step on land. The crew's calculations found that the atmosphere surrounding the planet would support human respiration, but just to be safe, Beatrice and Ennio put on their suits, firmly attaching their helmets to the oxygen tanks. They landed with a metallic thud, Ennio and Beatrice grinning. They waited for the airlock to open and stepped outside. And that's when Ennio's helmet failed. His face turned gray, and she didn't notice because she was looking up at a new sky of reds and purples and bright galaxies. Not until he slumped against her and she looked down and saw the still boy crumpled against her thigh. She grabbed him up and ran to the opening of the airlock, slamming her fist against the metal wall as he drowned on the absence of air. The door was opened and he was rushed to the medbay, but it was too late. I finished adding the details around my mother's face, smoothing the rock dust away with my thumb. I think about a new temple built here and covered in images of her love. This has been The Tower, The Mother, and Death. Written by Mahala Smith. Thanks for tuning in to Manowaker Studios' Flash Fiction Podcast. Before you go, be sure to swing by Manowaker Studios' online store, where you can snag both physical and digital copies of our books and games. Don't miss out on our latest release, Dangerous to Go Alone 2, another anthology of gamer poetry. Head over to payhip.com/manowaker or click the link in the show notes.